Good morning. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this beautiful October morning, being it the 16th day of the month, and 2005 is going really fast. Do we have any announcements this morning that are not in the bulletin? Looks like we have lots of things going on here. Okay. Do we have any other announcements that anyone needs to make? Could someone please, have the attendance pad been passed out? Okay. Please register your attendance today on the attendance pads. Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests that are not listed in our bulletin today? Any praises?
There's something else, though. First, Beverly Medlin is doing... Beverly Medlin had surgery on Wednesday, was doing fine on Friday, as far as we know. She was doing fine on Friday. We don't know when she's coming home. She was sitting up. She is walking. I think we're going to walk her that day, so she is okay. Mr. Hobart Wilcox. Who remembers Hobart? Okay. Mr. Hobart passed away Friday morning, or sometime in the night, Thursday night, Friday morning. His visitation is at Hickory Chapel from 4 to 8. The funeral is tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Hickory Chapel. Burials to follow in at Woodlawn, and they're going to have lunch back here mid-afternoon. We'll say 2:30 or 3, and the church has provided is providing a meal, or the Sunshine Committee is. We are having we're having a little trouble with sound. Did you not hear something? You don't know what you didn't hear, though, did you? So because of that opening up there, we hope that's fixed next week, but it is. Letting the sound going out, so we're going to try to speak.
Okay.
And then it may be cool, but we got a big hole up there that we didn't get fixed back. Is it too cool for anybody? But it's just going to, there's one fan. So, okay.
I don't even need the microphone.
Okay, right.
I'm school. Remember?
Right. Okay. If you can't hear, raise your hand and say, or put your hand like this.
Right. If you can't hear, raise your hand. If there was anyone that had a prayer request that needed to be of a silent nature, please fill a card out and put that in the offering plate when it is passed around. At this time, let us pause.
Yeah, first timers.
Oh, I'm sorry, missed that. First timers. Do we have any first timers? First timers on this side. Yes, ma'am. Okay, welcome to Jenkins. In the middle. On this side. Okay, very good. Do we see something here?
I think that's it.
Okay.
Yep. Look.
All right. Mr. John, have we lost our pens? We have some first timers over here on the. We'll have to limp along today, won't we? Okay, at this time, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts for our worship of God. Amen.
In your renew hymnal, number 14, we, last week in our choral opening, we invited everybody to sing. Could you play through that for us? Let's all try that.
Here in this place, the new light is streaming. Now is the darkness vanished away. See, in this space, our fears and our dreamings brought you to you in the light of this day.
Please follow with me with the call to worship. To you, O God, I lift up my soul. In you, I put my trust.
Make me to know your ways. Teach me your paths.
Let's worship God.
Let's all stand now and turn in our hymnals to hymn 108. 108.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise be to you, O God, O God the Most High. We come as your people, O Lord. We come to worship you. We come, O God, to offer praise Express your goodness in our need. Express your strength and confess our weakness. Lord, we come to express your love and thank you for it. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for calling us your finite beings, your creation. Thank you for calling us to come together with people of like mind and like thoughts, giving us this privilege of lifting our voices, sitting in your presence. Lord, we know that you're everywhere, but we pray for you to especially be with your people wherever they are gathered today. And Lord, especially in this gathering. You've promised when we gather in your name that you're with us. Lord, we welcome you. We want you to speak to us. And we want to be able to speak on your behalf. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. The next hymn is really a chorus, and it's a response to our offering ourselves to God in a response to our prayer.
And it is in the Renew Hymnal. And it is hymn 12. Play through that for us too, please.
You to join in our statement of faith. It's on number 716 in the back of your hymnal, or it'll be up on the wall. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you, choir. At this time, we are called to confess our sins. When anyone is guilty in any of these ways, he must confess in what way he has sinned. Holy, merciful God, in your presence, we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light, walk in your ways, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And we have the assurance of his forgiveness. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us.
Turn in your hymnals now, again, please, to hymn 530, Saved, Saved. Play a little bit of that for us, please, ma'am. And it's just an extenuation, is that right? Anyway, it's another way to say that he has assured us of our salvation. All right, here we go. I found a friend who is all to me.
For the children's service, children's time. Children, come on down. Miss Andrea, are you ready?
you know, that we also come to church because we want to gain strength as the body of Christ so we can go out in the week and be strong. Because we live in a world that doesn't always head us toward Jesus, does it? Sometimes it wants to take us away from Jesus. So did you know that it's important that we come here and get our good dose so we can be strengthened and live together? If you look in Hebrews 10:25, it tells us we need to join together as the body of Christ so we can become stronger. Because what's our main purpose here on this earth? This is not our main home, is it? We're going to a home in glory with our Lord and Savior. And our main job here is to be in the army of the Lord. So to be a strong army, we got to stand strength together. And we do that by listening to what the choir sings to us, hearing what Brother Larry has to say, and getting stronger, coming to Sunday school, and hearing what our teachers have to share with us. So we know how to go out and gather in more followers for who? That's right. So when you take that Bible, when you take that Bible, remember every day, as you're waking up in the morning, to say a prayer to the Lord, because you know what? We're not strong, but who is strong?
Yeah.
And that's where we get our faith.
I may interject here. Come on. The children meet each Wednesday evening at 5:15, and they're working now on the program for Christmas. So if parents, if you'll think about your children, getting them here at 5:15 on Wednesday.
Our offertory sentence today, but do not neglect to do good, to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. At this time, with the ushers, come forth to take our tithes and offerings.
Bow with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning to thank you for your many blessings. Dear Lord, as we drive into the parking lot of this church, we can see a portion of the blessings as this building continues to grow and improve and build out. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that that is yet one sign of your many blessings, but we know, Lord, that there are many, many other signs as well. Dear Lord, we know that our church is growing spiritually as well. We pray that that is the case. And we thank you for the many blessings that we've received spiritually. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for continued blessings upon this church. Dear Lord, and we ask that you bless the tithes and offerings that we bring before you this morning. We ask that they be multiplied and that your will work through those tithes, Lord. Help us to administer them for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
299, Rescue the Perishing. Let's sing first and last stanzas.
Scripture lesson today is taken from Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. Follow in your bulletin or in your Bible. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they, all alike, began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see to it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" The word of God. For the people of God, praise be to God.
Thank you, Mary Jo. I believe that's your first time to lead worship in a while anyway. Okay. And I thought that was an old song too. So, but for some people have never heard it. So
Thank you very much. I never sung it, maybe. Oh, I want to challenge you today. Can I challenge you? Anybody want to be challenged? Anybody don't want to be challenged? Okay, look around at the windows while I'm preaching. You got 6 points, you know, so just look at them and tune me out. But I come here this morning to challenge you. Some sermons are just teaching sermons. And some sermons are teaching for a response. I'm teaching as a challenge this morning. It may be teaching, but I want you to do something. And I want you to get with it. And we've got a few extra pews here, don't we? We could take, how many more people could we place in this place with these pews, okay? Let's think about that. Just look around you. How many spots do we have available? Okay? Empty spots. And then place to set up chairs. The codes people say no new pews till we get sewer in the area. But we can set up chairs if we fill them. And I'm talking about every Sunday, but I'm talking specifically about November the 13th. What's that? There is the 23rd. Is that next Sunday? And then there is the 30th. And then there is the 6th of November. And then the 13th. We're centering in on something. A challenge for November the 13th. Now you don't have to wait till then. And you don't have to limit yourself to then. Wish you wouldn't. This is a challenge for that day. Again, I trust that you want to be challenged. We had some of the singing today. Some of the songs were about reaching out. Reaching out. Snatch some from the fire. Wow. If the fire is out there, you certainly don't want to get people in it, do you? Let them get in it. What about, did anybody remember Mount St. Helens? Some people just wouldn't leave. They just wouldn't leave. The fire was coming. They knew there was. There's that one old gentleman. He justified everybody. They even made a movie about him afterward. Then Ed Norton, who really wasn't Ed Norton, but he played that part so much that I think of him as Ed Norton. Maybe you do too. He played the part. I talk about growing the kingdom too. This is a challenge to grow the kingdom. Build the kingdom of God. Go to coffee each morning or most every morning. Go down to the two-way stop and Larry usually drops in and Mr. Paul is usually there sometime. Charlie drops in occasionally. Who else? More out here. Bill, every once in a while he'll drop in. That's about it for this group, I guess. Mr. Sharpton, occasionally he'll come. The other morning, I was late. I had something I had to do, and I was late. And Mike Rutledge, do you know Mike? Mike was here for the first service. I got his permission to use this illustration before I used it, and even used it in his presence, or this story. Michael was waxing eloquent, if I could say that. Mike likes to talk. And they said, I got in there, and Mike had already gone, and they said, Larry, Mike was here, he was talking about the church this morning. And he said he was saying that every church that he knew anything about, and he knew about a lot of them, that every church that he knew anything about, all they did, or maybe the main thing that they did, was that they met on Sunday to talk about where they're going to eat in the middle of the week. And he said, next time they come back and meet, they're talking about what they're going to eat in the middle of the week. I said, that's right, and that's just what Jesus said about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a great banquet. And I'm going to preach about that Sunday so all you guys come. So Michael didn't know it, but he was kind of giving me an opportunity to speak to that group gathered there. They're called the Liars Club, you know. And so they gave me an opportunity to speak to that group concerning what I was going to preach about Sunday and what Jesus said. One little bitty thing about Jesus, what Jesus said. Because some of them don't know and not really caring what Jesus said, you know. They're more interested in what they're saying or what Mike is saying. But Mike helped me out that day. He didn't know he was doing that, I don't think. So I got there the next morning when Mike was there, and I told him, explained to Mike, and I said, Mike, I'd like to use that illustration to open my sermon Sunday. Because I was already planning to preach from this passage that you've just heard from Luke 14 about the banquet. It's also found a similar Matthew's understanding or memory of this parable of Jesus is found in Matthew chapter 22 in the first few verses. So you might want to go there and read that one. Matthew tells us from a little bit different angle. He adds a few things that Luke left out, or Luke says a few things that they didn't say the same thing about the parable, but they got the message to us. We feel it's the same parable. Now, of course, I was halfway joking, but that's one way that those guys will listen to you a little bit. But I was halfway serious, very serious. As I said, Luke and Matthew record this parable, or a parable of Jesus, where he compares the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God to a banquet. God's kingdom. It's a banquet. Or a great feast. Actually, a wedding banquet. Now, this church is known for its eating. If you didn't know that, it is. We like to eat. We eat on Wednesday night. Last week, one group, I went with them Wednesday at lunch, and then I went with another group Wednesday night, or we met here. So we have a little supper, a big supper that Tommy Markham prepares. Okay? The retirees went out last Wednesday at noon. Well, that does something terrible to my weight loss program or weight maintenance program. Okay, but the men at the church had breakfast yesterday morning. 12 or 13 were present. I called some of you. Some of you said you didn't want to come. Don't call you, so I didn't. Others, I thought you were here the previous Sunday, so I didn't call you. But anyhow, we had 12 or 13 present. Had a great breakfast. A banquet, as banquets other than church banquets. Last Saturday night, we had a banquet down at the Lodge Hall, spaghetti supper. Last night, the Lions Club had an outdoor picnic, and what a banquet that was. It was a farm trailer just laden with food. And the last thing I got a hold of, Dave, did you get any of that banana pudding that lady brought in last? She was from our church, so we know that she can make a banana pudding real good. What was it? Last week we found some banana pudding at the lodge supper too. Banquets are big in our society. Well, banquets are big in the kingdom of God. He talks about his kingdom being like a banquet. Most everybody can relate to some banquet, can they not? We know what they're talking about. We may not know about sowing seed. We may not know much about butchering cattle, but we know about eating from a table, a supplied table. So I want you to think about now. I've told you about my banquets. What's the best banquet that you have ever attended? The best feast. The best feast. Just think about it. You know, flip back through that computer up there. The best one that you've ever attended. The greatest banquet. The greatest meal that you've ever had. Probably a church supper, wasn't it? You can't beat them. Can't beat them. Might find something that's equal. Oh, my goodness. Wednesday at the Olive Garden, that was very good. Breakfast yesterday morning was very good. Meal last evening was very good. The meal Wednesday evening was very good. The meal last Saturday evening was very good. And I'm looking for a good family banquet just in a little bit. What was your best ever feast? Your best ever feast. And Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a man giving a feast or a banquet. It was a wedding banquet for his son. Now, they're the best. They are the best. I look out here and I see Larry and Andrea. Oh, when their daughter got married, they had a feast. But the one, Nikki Bondanza, stout. She's stout now. One of the girls that got married
here in the church and went to someplace else, had a feast. It was a great feast. Jim, you were there, I believe. Were you there? I think you were. You know, used to, when we got married and before that, and it was cake, small piece of cake, few nuts, mint or two, little punch. Maybe some coffee. Somewhere in the past, our anniversary is Tuesday, right? Almost forgot it. Somebody reminded me yesterday. And that was the menu, right? And the church fellowship hall, and everybody stood up. Now it's a sit-down dinner. What did it change? You know, since 1968, who had a great spread? Joy had a pretty big spread. Yeah, more than just a little cake, nuts. When did it change? Was it Amy? Yeah, big spread, big decoration. Yeah, who else? I don't want to overlook anybody, but yeah, they've changed, haven't they? Melanie, when her daughter got married, they came up with a novel idea. Great feast, though. Yes. So, the kingdom of God is compared to a banquet. A banquet. For a man gave a banquet. And the good part in the kingdom of God, we are invited. We're invited. We're invited. But as good and as great as the feast is, the kingdom of God, everybody doesn't choose to participate. Just two Sunday nights ago, I think it was, I had an invitation to a wedding. And I was thinking about going, and I got the invitation out, and guess what? I forgot to send in my ticket for the meal. So I said, well, I'll just go to the wedding and slip out after it. And then something else came up, and I just decided, well, I don't think I can make it in time. So, a great feast there. I would have been a guest, wouldn't have to do anything but walk in and enjoy it. And somehow, a few little circumstances, I have some excuses, but I chose not to go. Right? And we've all had those opportunities that we choose not to participate. One part of the parable that Jesus gives us is relating the excuses that people make for not eating from God's table. You have three listed here. One had bought a field. One man that was invited. See, what they did is they sent out the invitations and they said, get ready and we'll call you when the banquet happens. When the wedding happens, we'll call you then. And they called him, and one man said, I bought a field. He must have been a farmer, I guess. A field. But he could have been the man that bought the field and had a treasure in it. You know, another parable. There's no connection, we don't think, but I thought of that. Might have been that same man. Maybe he was a farmer, and he had to go look over and see how good a field he had bought. He had to go see it. Evidently, he hadn't seen it before he bought it. Because he had to go see it. Maybe go see it again. It didn't say that, though. It said he had to go see it. Another had bought 5 yoke of oxen and was going to try them out. I guess he was a cattle farmer or a cattle trader, maybe. Had to go see what kind of product he had bought. Or he could have been going to try out and see how tasty they were. You know, kill one and get a steak. Going to a feast of his own. We don't know. But that could have been it. But he had to go try them out. Excuses only satisfy the person who gives them anyway, right? I remember that from one of my classrooms. There's a little note up on the board. Had a lot of little sayings, and that was one of them all around the room. Excuses only satisfy the person who gives them. And then the third said, I just got married, I can't come. Now that might have been a legitimate excuse. But we understand that in the day that Jesus was telling this, that Jewish boys who got married were off for a year. They had a year to entertain that lady. I hope she had a rich father. And I hope the dowry was good. Or he was a rich person himself.
But he could take off a year. He didn't even have to go to the army. If they called up the army, he was excused for a year. So he had gotten married. He couldn't go into the Lord's service because he had a wife. And that has happened many times. So somebody will be called into Christian service, and the wife says, "You ain't going. I didn't marry a preacher. I didn't marry a missionary." So happened in our case. I'm not real smart, but I was smart enough to wait to get married. It really wasn't that I was smart enough. I couldn't find anybody earlier than that. And finally, Carol found me. Wasn't that the Lord did that for us? Well, I'm convinced of that. Okay. Everybody doesn't choose to participate, and we have these three excuses, but there are other excuses. In the 10th chapter of Luke, these were from the 14th chapter, the 10th chapter of Luke, we find two other excuses. Jesus said, "Come follow me." And one guy says, "Well, I can't follow you. It's 10:59. I've got to go first and bury my father." Now, they never figured out if his father had died, was laying in as a corpse, and had to go and go home and bury him, or if he had to wait till his father died because his father wouldn't want him to go follow Jesus. And he didn't want to disappoint his father. We don't know what the situation was with the father, except he needed to be buried sometime. Maybe the next day or two, or maybe 5 years from now. But he said, "I can't go with you, Jesus. I got to go bury my father." And another one said, in verse 61, this guy said, "I can't go with you, Jesus. I've got to go home and tell my family goodbye." Now, was Jesus saying, "You got to go right now"? Could he not have said, "Jesus, I'll be right back. I want to be a good son"? But he made an excuse. I got to go say goodbye to my family. How long was it going to take? We don't know, but he made an excuse. One excuse is as good as another, right? Most of them are not only satisfy the person who gives them. Excuses. Some laughable ones. Have you heard these excuses from why we had a wreck? Well, some people were reported to their insurance company. I found these. One man said, "Coming home, I drove into the wrong house and collided with a tree that I don't have." Good as excuse as any, it satisfied the giver of it. And he said, I collided with a stationary truck coming the other way. Was it hauling stationary? Or was it just a truck turned the other way but was sitting still? Maybe it had three flats on it, so it was stationary. Right? Then the one said that he had a wreck. His excuse was, "The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him." And this is kind of sad, kind of mean. One guy, his excuse, he says, "I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment." Now, I had a better mother-in-law than that, I'll tell you that. Okay, another one said, "I thought the window was down, but I found it up when I put it was up when I put my hand through it." And then I like these. "An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and vanished. I've been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep at the wheel and had an accident." But he should have stopped and taken a nap, couldn't he? Okay. "And the indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth." Wow, you know. Now, Deion Sanders, is he still playing or is he giving it up? Still playing? Okay. He was kind of a good guy, wasn't he? At least on the athletic field, baseball and football. And outfielder for the Atlanta Braves, a cornerback for the Atlanta Falcons. The only athlete, according to Mike Lupica, the only athlete to have a major league home run and scored an NFL touchdown in the same week. All right? So y'all know that to be a fact. Some of you probably saw it. Sanders grew up in Fort Myers, Florida.
on the street, so to speak. He was exposed to a lot of would-be athletes. Now, Sanders was an athlete, right? But he was exposed to a lot of would-be athletes. And these would-be athletes that he knew spurred him to make a success of himself. He didn't listen to them. He explained, "I call them Idas. If I'd have done this, I'd be making $3 million, they say. Or if I'd have practiced a little harder, I'd be a superstar." And Sanders says, these guys that he grew up with, these Idas, he says they were as fast as he was when they were kids. But instead of working for their dream, they chose to go for drugs and a life on the street corner, just kind of hanging out. He says, when I was young, I had to practice. My friends who didn't went straight to the streets and they never left the streets. He said, the moment after school was the moment that he had to grab. And the moment that we need to grab if we're a student. There are certain moments even in adults' life, though. We don't need any more Idas. I'd have done this if. Or this would have happened if I'd have kept going. One excuse is as good as another one, though, isn't it? Then there are those who have no excuse. I run into them. Yes, there are some people who I have met and tried to invite to Jesus. They didn't offer an excuse. They just didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus or things religious. That was a private matter, they said, and when they were ready, they would make a decision. Many did not think that they needed Jesus. I'm as good as those people that profess to follow Jesus, they said. And they were pleased with life as it was. But there's another part of the parable, as well as this one about the excuses. That other part is the instruction, or the instructions, that the banquet giver gave to his servants. Those who were first invited refused to come. So he instructed the servants to go out and invite others to the banquet. Go and invite the poor. Evidently, he had invited the well-off the first go-round. So go out and invite the poor people to this banquet. I'm going to have some guests at my son's banquet. Go out and invite the crippled. Go out and invite the blind. And go out and invite the lame. And if you go back and read that Levitical law, in the Jewish temple, the crippled, the blind, and the lame were not so welcome. But when Jesus came, they were welcome. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus welcomes us. If we're lame, if we're crippled, if we're blind, if we're poor, He welcomes us. So God, Jesus being God in the flesh, God welcomes us too, right? So God sends His servants out to invite those who are not normally invited in. Jesus had come to His own, and His own received Him not, or they turned their back on Him. But to those who did receive Him, He gave them the right or the privilege to become children of God, even to those who believed on His name. Rejected by the Jews, He went to the Gentiles. Rejected by the ones that would normally receive Him, His own people, He went to the rest of the world. And actually that was what the Jewish people were supposed to do, and we find it back in Genesis chapter 12 when God called Abraham. Here we go back to Genesis 12 again. God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and with descendants. I'm going to bless your descendants. And they're going to be a blessing to the rest of the world. They're going to reveal me to the rest of the world, rest of creation. And they refused to do it. So God sent Jesus. to reach out to the rest of the world. This parable just kind of takes that history and puts it all together in a little bitty parable. Those thousands of years. And because the Gentiles are invited, you and I are invited. We're included in the rest of the world. We're not, if we're not of Jewish heritage. But the servants reported. Now, did they go out and look around and find some, or had they already done it? The servants reported, "Master, the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, they've been invited, but there's still room at the banquet table." So the master of the house, the banquet giver, he instructed the servants to go out into the roads, go out into the country lanes. I believe one version calls them, go out to the hedges and the highways and make them come in or compel them to come in. Now, we understand that St. Augustine interpreted this to force them to come in. No. Compel them to come in. Urge them to come in. Invite them in. That's what Jesus does. He don't twist arms. But in one time in history, the church was going to try to out to force people into the family of God. And it can't happen because it has to be an individual thing. We go out in love. All we do is in love. He says, go out and make them come in so that my house will be full. Now, what can you take home from what I've said so far today? Probably nothing. But let's get with it then. Today, we are the servants sent to invite people to the banquet in God's kingdom. We are the servants sent. You and I are sent to invite people to come and eat from God's table. We who have eaten and are eating ourselves. Think about it. And then think about Friend Day. I did that at 8 o'clock. November. I almost said February. Friend Day, November the 5th. No, back up. November the 13th, 205. Friend Day, November the 13th, 205. Mark that down because I'm going to forget it. Friend Day, November the 13th, 205. And I ask you, does this parable say anything to us about Friend Day, November the 13th, 2005? And I'm going to claim it does. I may have twisted the Scripture just a little bit. But sometimes twisted Scripture helps us. I smoked for 10 years. I tried to quit, and I quit about every other day for about 8 of those years. A preacher came to town, preached in our pulpit. We had invited. The first sermon was, "How you need to quit smoking." And he twisted the Scripture. He twisted the Scripture to get the message over to me. So I quit smoking. Apologize not if I'm twisting the Scripture just a little bit. I want to challenge you. See, I told you that up front, did I not? I meant to. I want to challenge you. Does this parable speak to us concerning inviting our friends to a Friend Day or to any other worship experience or fellowship experience at God's church? And can we see ourselves? Can you see yourself? Not the preacher doing it. Can you see yourself as a servant sent to invite people to God's kingdom? Okay, people are going to make excuses. But sometimes we make excuses for not going ourselves. God is represented by the man who gave the banquet. Jesus came as His servant, but He appointed other servants. Our Jesus is God in the flesh. He is God sending us out. And I call your attention to the last word that Matthew recorded that Jesus said while on earth. He had been crucified. He had been dead. He died. He had been buried. He rose. And He walked on this earth for 40 days and met over 500 people. After He arose, 500 saw Him, visited with Him and talked with Him or heard from Him. And He was about to be lifted up on a cloud. Acts chapter 1.
But in Matthew chapter 28, 18, 19, and 20, Jesus says, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them." Look up Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20 when you have time. November the 13th, Make a New Friend Day. Why did we say Make a New Friend Day? Because last year on Friend Day, some of us said, "We don't have any friends that don't go to church." Well, make a new friend that don't go to church. Make a new friend that don't go to church. And bring that friend to church at Jenkins Church if you want to fill all of these pews. If you think that we've got anything here that's worth sharing. But you don't have to wait. There's what, 3 more Sundays before November the 13th? And there'll be some Sundays after November the 13th? No Titans game that day. We made sure when we set Make a Friend Day that the Titans were not playing anywhere, much less in Nashville, because we knew that some people would have to go. And we didn't want them to have an excuse. So Make a Friend Day and bring them. We didn't want that friend. How about it? Does this parable speak to that day, even with a little bit of twisting? I confess it. We have come to the banquet, have we not? We are eating from the table of the Lord. We're enjoying the blessings of the Christian life, as well as some of the tough spots too. Jesus never told us it'd all be roses, but He said He'd get us through every spot. And this has been one of those weeks that I wish I didn't have to go through, but He's brought me through. And I'm up here almost shouting this morning and challenging you on with it, right? We are enjoying life with Jesus our Savior and Jesus our Lord. We're enjoying life of faith and trust, and we have hope of an eternity out of this world. Do we not? We got it, don't we? Now, do we want to be selfish? Do we want to be selfish enough that we don't even speak to our best friend or even make a new friend that we might lead to the Lord? Now, just bringing a person to church on Friend Day might not get them to the Lord, but that will introduce them to the Lord. Do we want to be that selfish and keep these blessings, keep this banquet of the Lord's to ourselves? Can we see ourselves as a servant sent to invite one person to God's banquet table? So I challenge you to go to those you love. Or go to the people that you don't know now and say, "I want to meet you." Make a new friend. I had breakfast yesterday morning to church, Friday. Some people read the bulletin. They know it's the third Sunday, but some people have not attended a men's breakfast yet. I called a few. I called one. He said, "I got it written down. I'll be there." And he had told me a week or two ago that he kept forgetting. I called two more that hadn't been here. Guess what? I may have called four more, but two of them showed up. They wouldn't have come. Now, they got a lot of good fellowship. They got a lot of good fellowship. All I had to do is call them up and say, "Hey, we've got breakfast Saturday morning, 7 o'clock. Be with us if you'd like to." At this gathering last night at Pete Mosley's house, Lions Club. And I was with Pete two or three times this week, and he'd say, "Hey, we're having a little gathering over at our house Saturday night. Bring your family and come over if you like. Bring a dish if you like." And some people showed up that have nothing to do with the Lions Club. They may next year. Can we do it for church also? Can we do it for Sunday morning? Am I fussing or am I challenging? I want it to be a challenge. Are you challenged? That's the question. If you're not, it's been fussing in it. Or just batting my gums together. And about you eating from the table. Need to be careful that we always invite people to eat from the table. Have you eaten from the table of the Lord? Have you eaten from His banquet? If you haven't, I invite you, urge you, challenge you to take that step today. You know, some people just
stand aside and look on and watch the other people in the banquet. They don't want to get involved. They just look on. Never enter into the eating. And if you're that person, I challenge you to believe in Jesus. Repent. Turn from trusting yourself. Start trusting Jesus for life and eternal life. Trust. Commit. And serve Him. Become one of the servants that He sends out to invite others to do likewise. 450 is the song. We want to sing all the verses. We want to stand together. And I see this song as a commitment. Or a prayer, really. Lord, speak to me that I may be that inviter for Your kingdom. 450. If your response this morning is a public one, and especially if it is to eat from the table of the Lord, become a believer or express your belief, this altar awaits you, and I'll meet you there as we sing. 450, all four verses. Challenge us, all of us, to reach out to Your creation with Your love and salvation that You are. With that invitation to be in Your kingdom, Your family, we pray through Christ Jesus and trust in Him to so guide us. Amen.
Lord, let us now depart in peace. Who in Thy name are gathered here? This was the brightness of Thy face, and we forever near. Amen.
I could have used y'all for an example.
Yeah.
I used Mike in his presence.
No, no.
Well, Mike told me it's okay, though. Good to see you, Miss Diane. Hey, Gary. Okay. Hey, give me five. Am I getting a second five? There we go. Hey.
Thank and you. I came to you with two problems this
week. Oh,
you
yeah.
Solved both.
Thank did it? No, the Lord just did it. I just was his agent. I was his. Is it hurting your hand? You didn't hurt your hand on me, did you? Okay. Hey, how you doing? Hey, fella, how you doing?
Doing good.
You looking good. Working hard?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Studying hard, too?
About a
13-hour day. That's good. That's good. That's good. I did, too. Bye, Larry. Hey, how you doing, John?
Good.
Give me five there. See you Wednesday? Eat supper with you? Come Wednesday and eat supper with us if you can. 5:15, though, for the, your age. Do y'all get home that early?
Probably not. I'm
okay. Okay. Ah, yeah. Thank you. Hey, girl. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, fella. How you doing? Hey, ma'am. How you doing? Well, I'm ready. I'm ready. You can come. We'll come to your house. You spread a pretty good thing. Okay.
Yeah. Take care, brother.
Tell the wife hi.
I'll do it. Did
you have a good trip? Trip away. Hey, thank you again.
Thank you.
You're blessed. Thank you. Mr. Charles.
Yes, sir.
Hi. How you doing? Okay. Hey, husband, I preached about it this morning. Didn't call in names.
Brother Larry said
he's
back coming to church this morning. He said he was praying. He said, no. I said, well, I guess he didn't want to put the pressure on
you
too bad.
Hi there. Didn't want to, but got in fellowship with us anyway.
I have.
Hey. My name is Larry. Hi.
Hello.
Larry Gillett.
I'm Billy Edmondson.
Hi, goody. Good to meet you. Good I know a Billy Edmondson somewhere else. Give me five, young lady. She's not with it. How you doing?
Good.
Your cousin's loafing or visiting or what? Way on business. Tell them hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm Jill.
Yeah, good to see you, Jill. Welcome, welcome. Okay.
Yeah.
You know these people, I guess. You sitting there.
I teach
children. Okay. Yeah. Thank y'all for coming. And did you leave your address? Okay. Okay. We'll have to follow up with at least with the letter. If you don't want to visit, you might tell her that we. Okay. Well, good. Well, do I remember when?
Well, it's been a while.
Where do y'all live?
We're friends with
Morgan. Okay. Yeah. My Mrs. Campbell. Yeah. Okay, well, good. We're good to see you. Oh, I know. You live next door to the... Yes, I know. The, yeah.
The Skinners. The Skinners. Yeah, that's his. They don't claim it. The Skinners don't claim it. I said the Skinners don't claim it, did they?
I don't know. I never had that. I didn't have Chaplin.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does. I was picking at you.
I've raised his mark.
Yeah, yeah. Tim, that bubble gum, that juicy fruit gum story.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
And
he got the girl. He got the girl.
Well, I had the girl.
How old are you? 9. Come Wednesday if you'd like to, 5:15 if you'd like to sing with them. Kim and them, they came for the first service, but those little kids, most of them are coming, and we're going to do the Christmas program if you'd like.
Okay.
Love to see you. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And then 6 o'clock we have supper if you want to eat supper. You need to let us know if you want to eat supper. Eat too much. Okay. And call us by noon at least on Wednesday. Tell her and she can do it, and we'll fix it. What's he going to fix? I don't even know what he's fixing this week. Tacos. That's not my favorite, but I'll eat them anyway.